Hello everybody and welcome to this video, which is kindly sponsored by Squarespace. So today we're going to make a few quick updates. Well, the HMS Belfast book launches tomorrow, so better take that sliding banner down. And there you go, the front page is exactly the way it was before. No major fuss or anything like that, so just save there. And then I'm going to head over to articles because, well, today we're talking about the Antony role again. So going into the placeholder that I put in there before, you can see I can easily go into the text section. I can add a little bit of text, just letting people know what's there. That's not particularly difficult. Could copy paste it in as well if I wanted. You can see you've got the full word style options bar, etc. You can change the text, bold, italics, that kind of stuff. And with that done, I think it's time to put a picture in. So just go out, put a picture block in, just quite nice and easy. Wait for it to upload. This particular one I've chosen is one of the medium-sized ships. And then I'm just going to update the link to the spreadsheet because I made a few minor changes to the spreadsheet since I created this page. So I just go upload. There's the new spreadsheet ticked. So it's all linked up. Make sure it's all saved and working. There we go. Then save and exit that editing part of the page. All done. And then back to the front page. Nice and quick and easy. So if after all these little mini tutorials I've been doing, you think you could build a website for maybe ideally naval history purposes, but you never know, you might want to do it for some other reason, then head over to squarespace.com/Drakenfell. You can get a free trial, and once you're ready, that little link will give you 10% off your first website or domain. So thanks once again to Squarespace for sponsoring the video, and on with the main show. Hello everybody, and welcome back to the Antony Roll. So that's the Navy of Henry VIII, the early Tudor period, aka the early to mid 16th century, depending on what you call that period. Now, just over a month ago, we looked at the big ships of Henry VIII's Navy, or at least the top half of them. And today we're going to look at the lower half of those big sailing ships. To a reasonable definition of the word big, there are actually three sections to the Antony Roll. We're just looking at the first one. There's a whole other section on galleys and galleasses, and a whole other section on what the Tudors considered to be small craft. But I haven't gone through and translated or transliterated those from Tudor English to modern English yet, but it's a work in progress. And if you find yourself wondering what all the different guns aboard the ships are, well, I did cover it in a little bit more detail at the start of the first video, but just as a very quick recap, there are bronze guns and there are iron guns. And they use different kinds of powder, serpentine, which is an older, very fine powder, and then corn powder, fine corn powder as well. And they fire a mix of different kinds of shot. So there's iron shot, stone shot, and lead shot. And of course, they come in a wonderful variety of different shapes and sizes, which is, if you combine all of those things, why there are so many different types of gun, because there might be a few different types that all are roughly of the same size and fire roughly the same kind of shot, but one will fire lead, one will fire stone, one will fire iron, and you can have two otherwise identical gun types, but one made of iron and one made of bronze, and the list goes on. In any case, we left off with the Mary of Hamburg, and today we're picking up with the Christopher of Bremen. As the name suggests, the Christopher of Bremen was a Hanseatic League ship, shockingly enough, from Bremen. Henry VIII bought up a whole ton of Hanseatic ships to strengthen his navy, and here she is. And as we've done previously, we're going to compare some of the vital statistics with the previous ship. So compared to the Mary of Hamburg, the Christopher of Bremen is an interesting one because you can see there the tons, burthen are unknown. It's not entirely clear or legible in the original Antony Roll, but her crew, soldiers, mariners, and gunners count is exactly the same as the Mary of Hamburg. Now, obviously, these were ideal numbers and calculated according to specific formula within the Tudor Navy, but that does suggest that the Christopher of Bremen and the Mary of Hamburg were both probably 400 tons burthen, which is what we know the Mary of Hamburg's tons burthen figure is. Now, we do have one less bronze gun, but arguably this ship has potentially slightly more firepower at range, since the Mary of Hamburg only had two demi-culverins, two Sakers, and a Falcon. We've still got a Falcon, we've got one Saker, which is where we've lost, but we've gone up from demi-culverins to full-size culverins. So hitting a little bit harder, shooting a little bit further here on the Christopher of Bremen.
We have six fewer iron guns. There's only two port pieces compared to six previously. We're keeping our two demi-slings, but we're losing the two Fowlers from the Mary. Both ships have 12 bases. Both ships have 12 hail shots and 12 handguns. But the Christopher here picks up a Saker, which is an unusual thing because Sakers are normally found in the bronze gun category, but at this scale there's just one small iron Saker somewhere on the ship. With overall slightly fewer guns, we have the same 24 pounds of fine corn powder, but we've lost our demi-barrel of corn powder, and the serpentine powder is down to 14 demi-barrels instead of 27. In terms of iron ammunition, we have 10 less culverin shot than the previous ship had demi-culverin shot. We're down 20 Saker shot, but we're up 10 Falcon shot, same number of demi-sling shot, and we're up 100 shot for the hail shot. That's the dice little metal cubes. Which is interesting, because although a culverin being a bit longer would be a little bit harder to load, as we said, it is a more powerful longer range weapon. And yet the overall balance of firepower on this ship would seem to suggest they're aiming, or at least thinking, a little less about longer range engagements and a little bit more about close range engagements. It'll be interesting to see if that holds true in the other shot and the hand weapons categories. Well, since we've only got one third the port pieces, it's not surprising we've dropped from 120 to 50 shot there. The interesting thing is the ship's still listed as carrying 20 rounds for a top piece, even though it's not listed as carrying a top piece. Maybe that Saker was put in place of the top piece, who knows? Given that the Saker weighs almost a ton, I doubt it was up there in the fighting top, but who knows? Maybe they found something of similar size to a port piece to put up there. Or maybe the scribe made an error, who knows? In any case, in terms of lead shot for the bases, we actually have slightly more shot and slightly less shot for the handguns. The hand weapons, though, do seem to support our idea that this is perhaps a ship that, despite the culverins, is designed for more close-range combat than the Mary. You've got 200 longbows as opposed to 120, same number of bowstrings, almost double as many sheaves of livery arrows, same number of pikes and bills, but also almost double the number of darts for the fighting tops, 72 as opposed to 48. So perhaps the fighting tops are completely clear of guns, and they're just lots of dart throwers. General parts loadout is almost identical, with the exception of a reduction in the number of tampions from 500 to 400, and there are no formers for new cartridges. And the spares parts and storage is exactly the same as the Mary of Hamburg, with the exception of having 10 more feet of spare timber. Our next ship is the Trinity Harry, and interestingly, like the Pauncy back in the first video, this one seems a little out of place, because as you can see, it's only 250 tons burthen, whereas the Mary of Hamburg, probably the Christa of Bremen, and the ship we're going to see after the Trinity Harry are all considerably larger at 400 tons. But that's the order they came in the roll, so that's the order we're going in. And despite being obviously considerably smaller, at least in terms of tons burthen, the crew numbers have only gone down by 26, and interestingly we've got four more gunners aboard compared to the previous two ships. Now while we are back up to five bronze guns, they are somewhat small. We've got a single larger gun, a demi-culverin, and then four Sakers. But our iron gun complement has gone up quite a bit. There's more iron guns here on this little ship than there have been on the previous four ships, the Marine of Danzig, the Struz of Danzig, the Mary of Hamburg, and the Christa of Bremen. In fact, it's the 450-ton Pauncy, which is the next ship up the line, that actually has more. As is pretty standard for these kind of mid-scale Tudor great ships, there's a dozen bases, a dozen hail shot pieces, and a dozen handguns. And we've regained a top piece, so a gun up in the mast to fire down on people, but we've also gained an iron demi-culverin, which is a very unusual weapon because these are almost always found in bronze. And there's also four Fowlers and five demi-slings and 10 port pieces. So considerably more of a gunboat, and perhaps reflecting the fact that she's a purpose-built warship as opposed to the previous ships we've named, which are all of various Hanseatic League cities, which therefore indicates that they are merchant ships that happen to carry a lot of guns that are now in a semi-permanent warship role. And unsurprisingly, we're back up to full lasts of powder in barrels. Remember, that's quite a heavy weight, so you've got a last of serpentine powder stored in barrels, a last of corn powder stored in barrels, and then 24 pounds of fine corn powder for fusing. And there's fairly standard across the board increases in ammunition count, you know, commensurate to the amount of guns you've got. But interestingly, the number of demi-culverin shot is actually higher in a rounds per gun term as compared to earlier ships that had two demi-culverins as well. Remember, she has one bronze, one iron one. A general trend which you'll see with the stone and lead shot as well, although interestingly the amount of shot for the bases is reduced slightly. So perhaps with the increased demi-culverin shot, this is a slightly longer range gunnery vessel. And this is perhaps borne out, I mean, admittedly she's small, but as we saw, she doesn't have that much of a reduction in overall crew numbers, but she does have the smallest complement of hand weapons so far. The Morris Pikes and Bills are fairly standard, as are the darts for the tops, but there's only 100 U-bows and not even 1.5 bowstrings per bow. So that's indicating that they've got them, but they're perhaps not expecting to use them all that much. As you might expect for a ship with a lot more guns, she has a lot more munitions, supplies and tools than some of the previous ships. And compared to the ex-Hanseatic 400 tonners, her spares are actually similar and in some places actually slightly greater. She has 50% more spare rope aboard and a third more lime pots. So she's quite a vicious little fighter at 250 tons, given that she outguns and, at least in anything other than a close boarding action, theoretically outfights ships almost double her, well, tons, burthens, not exactly displacement, but you get the general picture. And we're back up to 400 tons for the last time with the wonderfully named Small Bark, presumably because the 500-ton Great Bark was a little bit larger. Crew size has understandably gone up a little bit. There's 30 more than were on the Trinity Harry and 4 more than you found on the Christopher of Bremen or Mary of Hamburg. But most of that increase has again gone into gunners. We've got 23 gunners now, as opposed to the 16 on the Mary and the Christopher. And you can immediately see why. There's no less than 11 bronze guns, a figure exceeded only by 5 of the larger ships. Now we've got 2 demi-cannon, and they're pretty hefty guns, a single long-range culverin, a slightly smaller demi-culverin, 5 sakers, and interestingly, a relative rarity in the Tudor fleet, although they are on one or two other ships, 2 cannon petro or pedero. These are stone-throwing cannon, as opposed to iron shot-throwing cannon, which are the regular demi-cannon in this case. And you can actually see, I'm pretty sure, these cannon and cannon pedero or petro represented on the side of the ship on the lower gun deck, because those are pretty big guns. And it turns out the Small Bark continues to have a big bite, because with 76 iron guns, there are actually only 3 other royal ships, the Henri Grâce à Dieu, the Peter Pomegranate and the Matthew, which have more than that. She actually has the same number of iron guns as the Mary Rose, which is almost twice her tons burthen. Now, of course, the balance is slightly different, although they both have 12 port pieces. This is the Small Bark and the Mary Rose. But then while the Mary Rose has at least one of almost every kind of iron gun, the Small Bark standardizes with 5 demi-slings and then 46 bases, plus a single top piece in the masts and the standard 12 hail shot pieces and 12 handguns. Now, surprisingly, perhaps for all that firepower, she still only carries 2 lasts, i.e. just over 2 tons of powder, one last of serpentine and 1 of corn, and then the 24 pounds of fine corn powder, so exactly the same powder outfit as the Trinity Harry. Whereas some of the ships that she approximately shares gun count with carry anywhere between 3 and 5 tons of powder. Although that said, 1 or 2, you know, carrying 2 or 3 tons are about the same, so it's probably not short-selling the ship. Unsurprisingly, therefore, she has a fairly high count of ammunition for her iron shot, and a similarly impressive loadout for her stone and lead shot, including, interestingly, no less than 50 stone shot for cannon petro. So that's 25 rounds apiece. Now, bearing in mind those are better as anti-personnel shot, and of course the bases with their lead shot are also pretty good at that, this suggests that although she is, generally speaking, quite a vicious ship, she is perhaps a close-range battering gunboat. as opposed to a particularly a long-range gunboat, although she does have a capability of long-range fire as well. Almost pre-dreadnought-like in some ways. And although, of course, she's carrying a reasonable number of hand weapons, the interesting thing is that she's not carrying a huge amount. There are some of the ex-Hanseatics that have more, especially in the bow department, so she's decently armed for extreme close-range combat, but not particularly heavily, again suggesting more of a gunboat-based approach. And compared to the Trinity Harry, the little gunboat we just looked at a minute ago, her munitions, spares, and tools is pretty similar, slightly more tampions, 100 more tampions, about 50% more canvas for cartridges and an extra former, but that's really about it. And then her spares and stores are pretty standard for a ship down at this lower end of the first part of the roll, although she does have an extra set of spare wheels, an extra spare truck, and a few other extra spares, and double the number of sheepskins for sponges as compared to the Trinity Harry and most of the ex-Hanseatic ships. And that brings us along to the Sweepstake, which at 300 tons is one of two ships at this tons burthen, and therefore obviously somewhat smaller than the small bark or the various ex-Hanseatic vessels that we looked at the tail end of the last video. Crew-wise, compared to the small bark, we've lost 20 people, only two of them being gunners, though. Most of the loss is coming from the regular soldiers and mariners. And we've got 8 bronze guns, but two of them are demi-cannon, plus a culverin and 3 demi-culverin, and 2 sakers. That's a pretty heavy bronze gun armament for something only 300 tons. It's, you know, actually very similar to what we saw on the small bark, except actually 2 more demi-culverin, so slightly higher weight guns, just slightly fewer of the lower weight guns. Now, unfortunately, we don't know exactly how many port pieces the ship had, because, again, the text on the original Anthony roll is either illegible or not there. But she's still got a very respectable 50 iron gun armament, even not knowing what the port pieces are. Given the general trend and her similarity to things like the Trinity Harry and the small bark, you'd probably be looking at something like 8 to 12 port pieces, especially when we look at the Minion, which is her other 300-ton stablemate, which would theoretically put her up to a maximum of 62, which is, again, quite respectable. Most of her guns, though, in the iron gun department are the bases, the standard 12 hail shots and handguns, 1 top piece, 4 fowlers and 4 demi-slings. She only carries 1 last, or about a ton, of powder. That's in serpentine powder form, in barrels, plus her 24 pounds of fine corn powder. But interestingly, although being smaller than the small bark, which we've already established as a pretty hefty gunboat, the Sweepstake actually carries, although similar levels of ammunition generally, slightly more ammunition in surprising places. So she's got one less demi-sling, but carries significantly more demi-sling ammunition. And although she only carries 40% the Sakers, she carries 66% as much Saker ammunition. So a slightly higher ammunition-to-gun ratio as compared to even the small bark. Although her stone and lead ammunition is similar and proportional to her armament and to the small bark. But for all the gun armament, the really intriguing thing is the hand weapons, because compared to the larger small bark, which we've already established is pretty tough in terms of overall firepower, she has the same number of bows on a smaller ship, and she's issued with considerably more bow strings, although the same number of arrows, and she has 40 extra pikes and 40 extra bills as compared to the small bark, which means that although she's a smaller ship and she doesn't have the cannon petros for really close range work, she is actually, weirdly enough, better equipped for a long-term close-range melee and arrow-firing contest. She also carries twice as many pick hammers and 400 more tampions, so she's definitely loaded as a vicious gunship, even perhaps more so proportional to her tons burthen than the small bark, but also weirdly is better shaped for melee combat. But her general spares and stores are listed as exactly the same as the small barks, so make of that what you will. That brings us on, then, to the Minion, the other 300-tonner. Very slightly less crew, 10 fewer men, 9 of them being mariners, a reduction from 109 to 100, and one less gunner. Now, she does have one more bronze gun compared to the sweepstake, but her bronze gun armament is considerably smaller. Just one demi-culverin, then 6 sakers and 2 falcons. So, yes, lots of bronze guns comparatively, but they are somewhat on the smaller side. Now we're down to just 32 iron guns, 12 port pieces, which is fairly standard, it seems, for these purpose-built 250 to 400-ton gunships of the Tudor Navy, 4 slings, which are somewhat heavy iron pieces, obviously not cannons or anything like that, but notable, 3 fowlers, and interestingly, no bases whatsoever. Just a top piece, 12 hailshot pieces, 12 handguns, fairly standard there. And the standard approximate 1 ton of serpentine powder, 24 pounds of fine corn powder, not a lot changing. Now, the interesting thing is, in her terms of her iron shot allocation, obviously some figures go up, some figures go down because you're carrying more or less guns, but overall the shot per gun allocation is decidedly less than on her 300 ton sister ship, the Sweepstake. And there's a similar trend in stone and lead shot, except for the port pieces, where there's a slight increase in overall ammunition, but otherwise ammunition count is either the same or slightly reduced compared to other ships with similar numbers of guns that fire this kind of shot. Now, the really interesting thing, though, is that although the pikes and bills are back down to the 100 that we see across most ships of this kind of displacement, the U-bows, while at 150, is similar to the small bark and the sweepstake, the number of strings has gone up yet again, and the number of arrows has crept up as well, as has, except for, as compared to the small bark, the number of darts for the tops, the small bark having the largest of this approximate size class, which seems to indicate that despite being apparently very similar to the sweepstake, at least in terms of tons burthen, the Minion is very definitely a melee-oriented ship, as opposed to the more gun-based sweepstake. Although, weirdly, she carries just as many tampions as the sweepstake does, but overall similar or slightly reduced amounts of other munition-type spare parts and supplies. And her general spares and stores list is identical to both the small bark and the sweepstake, with the exception of the amount of timber that she carries being 30 feet instead of 40 feet in the other two ships. And now for the last 5 ships on the Great Ships or Carax roll, we take a rather dramatic drop in tons burthen, with this ship, which has a tons burthen of just 100 tons. So, you know, we're talking 1/3 the size of the Minion that we were just looking at, 1/4 the size of the small bark, still, you know, less than half that of even the Trinity Harry. Now, you might notice the name, the thing. Well, she's listed as the Lartica, or Lartique, possibly. But, of course, that's an old term, and the best I could find in terms of Tudor English, this ship is either literally called the thing, or possibly the ironmonger. It depends on exactly what variation on the spelling you want to take, and exactly how you want to translate it, but there you go. Rather understandably, for a 100-tonner, the crew has dropped quite dramatically to just 140. The number of soldiers has only reduced by 20, the number of mariners has almost halved, and the number of gunners has dropped by almost 2/3. And indeed, that gunnery drop seems to be justified. She just carries a single bronze gun, and it's not even a particularly large one. One Minion. That's a very, very small bronze gun. Exactly where that is, who knows? Possibly it's a bow chaser, I would imagine. Complementing that, we have 21 iron guns, no port pieces, no slings, but we have 3 demi-slings, 4 quarter-slings, 8 bases, a top piece, 4 hailshot pieces, 6 handguns, and a saker. And rather understandably, the poor thing doesn't need 1% of her entire tons burthen figure to be gunpowder, so now she's just carrying 10 demi-barrels of serpentine powder and 16 pounds of fine corn powder. Her shot per gun allocation seems to be fairly low, except for the Saker and the Minion, which both have fairly high shot per gun counts. So that perhaps further supports the idea that maybe they're using the Saker and the Minion as bow or stern chasers, and everything else is more general, but she doesn't seem particularly heavily loaded for gunnery action, which, well, given her size, you'd hope that's probably not her strong suit. Although, with that said, she does have a slightly above average number of rounds per gun for her bases and handguns. So this is perhaps leading me towards the idea that this is a ship designed for close range boarding actions rather than any kind of long range gunnery, which would make sense given her size, especially given the tactics of this period, which held that small ships supported the larger ships, both in terms of direct firepower and in terms of sending troops and so forth across to them if they were embattled. So as a support ship, which can perhaps hang back a little bit while the big ships take the brunt of the early firepower, but then come in and provide supporting harassing fire or reinforcements, we should see a decent number of hand weapons. And indeed, while she is carrying fewer weapons, because obviously she is a much, much smaller ship, her bows and arrows seem to have been reduced roughly in proportion with her tonnage, but the pikes and the bills and the darts have only dropped by about half, despite her tonnage dropping by about two-thirds. And bearing in mind the number of soldiers we established didn't reduce that much, that very much does suggest this is a melee support vessel. Rather uniquely in the Tudor fleet, she doesn't seem to carry any pick hammers at all. But overall, her munitions, spare parts and supplies is pretty much in line with her reduction in displacement. She doesn't have any paper for cartridges, though, something that none of the really small ships do. But interestingly, her general spares and stores are a mix. She has as much rope and as many nails as considerably larger vessels, as well as many firkins. Only a one-third reduction in leather bags, but she has no spare wheels, one-third less spare trucks, although it's three down to two. Only a quarter as many sheepskins for sponges, and she's lost 10 feet of spare timber. And now we have the Mary Thomas, with whom we bid a fond farewell to having a tonnage measured in triple digits. She is just 90 tons, but despite only being 10 tons less than the Thing, or Ironmonger, she has a dramatically smaller crew, 140 down to 80. Virtually no soldiers. They've taken the brunt of the cuts. Same number of gunners, and she's only lost five mariners. So perhaps she's a small gunboat, as compared to the Thing being clearly a melee vessel. Well, we've still only got the one bronze minion. But we do have a slightly greater iron gun count and broadside. We've got two port pieces, some of the larger ones. Five demi-slings instead of three. Haven't got any quarter slings, but we do have two additional bases. Still got a top piece, still got four hailshot pieces, and four more handguns, plus an iron saker. She's carrying the same amount of serpentine powder, but has 4 pounds more fine corn powder. But iron shot-wise, she is carrying substantially more ammunition than the Thing, the ship that's 10 tons larger than her. So this is perhaps further supporting the idea that she's a gunship. She's got 10 more rounds for the Minion, 20 more rounds, in fact, for the Saker, and proportionally more ammunition for the demi-slings. And likewise with the stone and lead shot, she's got 100 more rounds for her bases and 150 more rounds for her handguns. And in line with that drop of number of soldiers, her melee armament is considerably reduced. She has 10 fewer bows, although the same number of bowstrings, 15 fewer sheaves of arrows, 20 fewer pikes, and 20 fewer bills, although the same number of darts for the tops. Then we see the return of the pick hammer, four of them, at the expense of one of the sledgehammers, but broadly overall, otherwise, her munition stores are very similar to the Thing. She has one less roll of canvas for cartridges, that's about it. And her standard stores and spares are literally identical in all respects, except for having one spare extra. So overall, despite the small size and despite the general trend of these kinds of ships being support ships for the larger vessels once they get into close combat, the Mary Thomas specifically seems to be built as something of a little gunboat as compared to the Thing, or as we'll see later on, some other small ships. So stepping down another 10 tons in tons burthen, we have the Bark of Boulogne, also known as the Hoy Bark. And this has an even smaller crew of 60 men, although we have three more soldiers, significantly less mariners, and only half as many gunners at just four. So this perhaps is indicating a return to the more melee-based support vessel like the Thing, as opposed to the mini gunship of the Mary Thomas. We have, once again, just one bronze gun, although this one is a Falcon. It's marginally larger than a Minion, but not really much to make all that much fuss about. Just 18 iron guns, 2 port pieces, 2 Fowlers, 6 bases, giving us our broadside and 2 quarter slings, 6 hail shot pieces, and 6 handguns for anti-personnel work. With our drop in firepower, we also have a drop to just 8 demi-barrels of serpent impounder and 16 pounds of fine corn powder. But for all that, there's a relatively generous supply of iron shot in terms of rounds per gun. It's just not a particularly large supply overall, because after all, there aren't that many guns. However, round allocations for stone and lead shot are pretty standard, although the bases do have a somewhat low rounds per gun count. And supporting the idea that we're now looking at much more of a melee support craft, the number of U-bows has gone up past the Mary Thomas, in fact even past the number found on the Thing, although bowstring numbers stay the same. Likewise, number of arrows has gone up quite considerably, and so have pikes and bills. We're up to 60, which is 10 more than the Thing in each count, and double that on the Mary Thomas. So definitely a melee vessel here. And this is further supported by the munitions loadout. Nothing much remarkable stands out except for the reduction of Tampions. We're down by half compared to the Mary Thomas and the Thing. Everything else is roughly in proportion to displacement. Although general spares and stores for a 10-ton drop in displacement have taken quite a beating. We've only got half as much rope, 100 less nails, and broadly across the board you're looking at about half to a third reductions across all the other loaded spares. And that brings us on to the penultimate great ship, one of 2 60-tonners, and the last one that definitively is considered to be a great ship. We'll explain why in a minute with the other one. This one's called George, which is quite nice. She's a 60-tonner with just 40 men aboard. There's a drop, obviously, in soldiers and mariners from 28 each on the Barque of Boulogne to 18 here, but the number of gunners has stayed the same at 4. Now, rather interestingly, for a little 60-gunner, she has 2 bronze guns, including a demi-culverin, and the other one's a Saker, which, you know, okay, it's a smaller bronze gun, but it's not a small bronze gun. All the other ones just before have been Falcons and Minions. And just as a reminder, a demi-culverin weighs about 1.5 tons. Now, granted, tons burthen is not displacement, but still, that one gun represents 2.5% of her tons burthen. But the idea that this might be the world's tiniest gunboat, at least for the period, seems to be supported by the fact that she's got 15 iron guns. Now, granted, that's 3 less than the Barque of Boulogne, but she's 3/4 of the displacement. She still has 2 port pieces, but she has a demi-sling instead of quarter slings. And then she has 8 bases, 4 hail shot pieces, and 4 handguns. Just 5 demi-barrels of serpentine powder and 8 pounds of fine corn powder here. But she's provided with a really respectable 40 rounds for that demi-culverin and another 40 for the Saker, whereas the demi-sling only gets 30 plus 200 hail shot dice. The 2 port pieces only have 20 rounds apiece, so 40 total, with 160 rounds for the bases and the handguns. So to me, this suggests that perhaps that demi-culverin has been mounted spinally, i.e. it's a big bow chaser, and it's perhaps being used as a little bit of a standoff fire support craft, which would be intriguing for a little 60-tonner. Also notice how they've contrived to fit 4 masts on the poor thing. The idea that she's not really meant for close combat seems to be supported by the fact that she's only got 30 longbows aboard. This is the lowest longbow count of any of the great ships. Just 45 sheaves of arrows also puts her on the lowest arrow count, and 30 pikes and 30 bills, joint lowest number of hand weapons. She has the same munition stores as the Barque of Boulogne or Hoy Barque, with the exception of having 1 more roll of canvas for cartridges and 1 more former for a cartridge, which also supports the idea that perhaps this is some kind of bombardment gunboat. And her spares and stores are fairly similar. Slight increase in the number of lime pots, 1 extra coil of rope, and actually 10 more feet of timber than found on the Barque of Boulogne. And more spare parts for her guns. And finally, rounding out the Tudor great ships, we have the Mary James of 60 tons, which also incidentally means that Mary is the single most common name among the Tudor great ships, because you have the Mary James, the Mary Thomas, the Mary of Hamburg, and the Mary Rose. In second place is Bark, because you have the Bark of Boulogne, the Small Bark, and the Great Bark. She has the same crew as the George, and interestingly, you remember I mentioned that the George was the last one that definitively belongs on this roll. That's because the Mary James is sometimes called a galleass, which would mean she should technically be on the second roll, but she's included in the first roll nonetheless. Now, much as you might be thinking, at 60 tons, she's not much of a great ship. Well, at 60 tons, she can't be much of a galleass either. It seems to be more of a general classification system within the Tudor Navy rather than speaking to a particular size, inasmuch as the great ships or carracks, the ships found on the first roll, tend to have high fore and aft castles, whereas the galleys and galleasses on the second roll tend to have lower fore and aft castles, which again makes it intriguing that the Mary James is included in the first roll, because as you can see, she has a significantly lower stern castle than her predecessors on the roll. Everybody on this roll seems to have at least two decks worth of forecastle and at least two decks of stern castle. The Mary James probably seems to only have one, which puts her more in line again with the galleasses, but for whatever reason, she's here, so let's have a continuing look. She has just the one bronze gun, a Minion, in keeping with the Mary Thomas and the Thing. But at 22 iron guns, she actually has almost the heaviest armament of any of the ships that have less than 100 tons burthen. And in fact, she's got one more gun than the Thing, just one less than the Mary Thomas. And they're quite respectable. Two port pieces, five demi-slings, 10 bases, four hail shot pieces, and then 10 complete handguns and a Saker. A somewhat increased 9 demi-barrels of serpentine powder and 20 pounds of fine corn powder, as opposed to the George, most likely because of the multiplicity of smaller iron guns. A very high number of shots allocated to that Saker, 60 rounds just for the one gun, and a relatively small number for the demi-slings, just 10, and 50 rounds for the Minion. So again, perhaps a George-like bombardment ship, just with somewhat smaller guns. Fairly standard shot per gun allocations in stone and lead, though. 60 rounds for the port pieces, 200 rounds for the bases, and 200 rounds for the handguns. If anything, that's actually slightly on the low side for the handguns, given that there are considerably more of them, although it's a reasonable amount for the bases. Like the George, a very small melee loadout, although she does add another 15 sheaves of arrows and another 10 bows to her complement. So slightly better prepared in that respect, but not by a massive amount. And her overall munitions loadout is, unsurprisingly, the smallest of any of the Roll 1 ships, with the exception of Tampions, where she has 400 as opposed to the Bark of Boulogne and the George, which only have 200. And then her spares and stores, again, broadly in line with that of the George, although she has 100 fewer nails, one less leather bag, oh no, and one less extra set for the trucks, but otherwise broadly the same as the George. And that wraps up all of the great ships or carracks on roll one of the Antony roll. You can see quite a wide range of capabilities. There definitely seems to be a trend where the ex-mercantile ships are much more heavily rigged for melee action and close range fire, the dedicated warships having significantly more long range and heavy gun power. And some surprising results there in the smaller ships, where even there you seem to have a distinction between ships that are designed to maybe stand off and provide a small modicum of mobile fire support and other ships that very definitely seem to be loaded out for close range melee and troop support. Which shows that although warships at this period are very often viewed as generic, largely based on size, and obviously mercantile ships are very often seen as auxiliary warships, even at this point there is a growing delineation between the capabilities of a true warship and a merchant ship that's been turned into a warship, and there are even a certain amounts of specialization within the warships coming into play, something that will, of course, continue to be a trend throughout the Age of Sail. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this video, and see you again in another one.